I'm Jack Lessenberry. I'm not running for Congress, even though my congressmen and two nearby ones have announced they're going to retire. As I've said many times in many parts of this great state, I am not a candidate for anything and never intend to be. I might, 10 years from now, consider a temporary appointment to the Charlevoix Library Board, but that's as far as my political ambitions go. However, if I were to run for Congress, I would have one big thing in my favor. I don't have any children. I don't have any politically inclined relatives. My significant other is a different last name, and in any event, has informed me that if I did run for anything, she's out of here, which means I'd have zero possibility of creating a dynasty of sorts and passing my seat on to my relatives as though I were in the British House of Lords. What I'm talking about is, unfortunately, not merely theoretical. Consider this. After John Dingell served nearly 60 years in Congress, he was replaced by his wife, Debbie Dingell. Congressman Dale Kildee was replaced by his nephew, Dan Kildee. Sandy Levin's son, Andy Levin, is gearing up to run to succeed him, and yesterday, John Conyers, who's resigning in disgrace, announced he wants his 27-year-old son, John III, to succeed him. That upset his grandnephew, State Senator Ian Conyers, who thought he could be the one to capitalize on the family name. These are, remember, offices that don't have term limits. I wouldn't have enough space in 3 commentaries to list all the Michigan legislators who've tried, often successfully, to hand their jobs off to their spouses or kids. Of course, we live in a nation where Bill Clinton tried to deliver the presidency to Hillary Clinton. George Bush I did hand the presidency off to son George Bush II, though the family did fail to get the Oval Office for Jeb Bush. You may have forgotten this, but one of the reasons for the American Revolution was a dislike of hereditary dynasties. When John Adams' son John Quincy Adams became president, despite losing the popular vote, it helped spur a wave of populist sentiment that swept Andrew Jackson, who some have called the Donald Trump of his day, into the presidency. Now, of course, the fact that someone has the same last name shouldn't be an automatic disqualification either. Dan Kildee had an impressive record on his own for many years before succeeding his uncle, and Debbie Dingell was almost a deputy congressperson for decades. But John Conyers III doesn't even have a job that I know about, and his only known public achievement is getting in trouble for misusing government property. There are easily 1,000 people in that district more qualified than he. Yet name recognition is a big part of the game, perhaps now more than ever, when fewer people read newspapers and serious political coverage. I wouldn't go so far as to say we need anti-nepotism laws, but we need some way to help voters to pay attention and make informed decisions about which candidates are qualified for any office. The state of the state and the nation may indicate we need this now more than ever.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's news analyst.